This morning, I'd really like for us to know that we are at war. No, I'm not talking about Russia and Ukraine. I'm not talking about anything like that. But rather to go and to consider that there is a war on for these folks. Amen. There's a war on for the next generation, and the reason is that if they could take the next generation, then they could eliminate the presence of God, yes. Eliminate the presence of the gospel, yes. Yes. And create mayhem on this planet. The book of Deuteronomy was written with that in mind. Moses saw how the next generation was already being impacted. And the word Deuteronomy, while it might be translated as a second law, there was not so much of a second law, it's just that he wrote it over. He wrote it over so that the next generation could read it and understand it and apply it to themselves. And so as Moses begins to share that idea and share the major tenets of this amazing law, and God had 10 commands, not 10 suggestions. He was passing something of value on to the next generation. If you have someone from the next generation close to you right now, just reach out and wave to them or touch them, encourage them and tell them, I'm so glad to see you. Just do that for me. And as you do that, I want us to go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 20. And to see what Moses delivers for the next generation to hold on to, for the next generation to grab and to secure. Keep in mind, we are at war. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, the scripture says, when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them, for the Lord your God is with you, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. So it shall be when you are on the verge of battle that the priest shall approach and speak to the people. And he shall say to them, Hear, O Israel, today you are on the verge of battle with your enemies. Do not let your heart faint, do not be afraid, and do not tremble or be terrified because of them. Things haven't changed much, has it?
Never.
And the more things change, Brother Archer, the more they remain the same. We are at war. And the younger generation needs to understand some principles. Firstly, let's examine some reasons why people were exempted from that war and see if any of them apply to us. In the passage, Moses will then say there are some conditions that if these conditions are there, then you don't have to fight. So let's just examine them. In the chapter, he said it from about verse number 5. Then the officers shall speak to the people, saying, What man is there who built a new house and has not dedicated it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man dedicate it. So he says, look, if you build a house and it's a new house, Hayadala, if you build a house and it's a new house and you have not dedicated, then you are not at war. Well, here we are. Any new homes being built here? The home and the house and the whole idea of property is an amazing thing. People hold on to the planet as if this is going to be our home. But I remember not too long ago, our song leader, and oh, you're such an encouragement. I'm not sure if I got your name right, but thank you. You're really an encouragement. I am sure that the song leader would have led somewhere along the line, Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. Why would he sing that if he didn't mean it? Why would he sing that if we are here to stay? There are those who are just walking around, carrying the idea, J.W., just walking around as if this planet is theirs and that some sweet day we will inherit this physical earth and that will be fine. That is nowhere in the scripture. God has prepared an awesome place for us. I come into you. God has prepared a place that is heaven. And so some sweet day, I'll step on a cloud. And I'd like to look next to me and see you right there, holding my hand. And together we're holding the hand of Jesus and we stepping on a cloud. I don't have any clue about what that is going to be like, but it's going to be really awesome. And to look back and to see the earth being dissolved with fervent heat, and it will not matter because what is before us is going to be so exciting that what is behind us will just fade. I'm looking forward for glory. What about you? And so our younger generation, sir, has to see that this earth is not our home. Yes, there are those who are marching, save the planet, save the whale, save the shark, save the worm. All of those things are fine, but one of these days, they will burn with fervent heat. Our eyes must be set on heaven. So for Moses, he says, here's what. If you build a house and you dedicate the house, I don't know what that means. I tried to search to find out what it means. But basically, he was saying, here's what. If you offer the house up to God, in other words, you build this new house and God is supposed to now take his presence in it. And that's fine. You don't have to go to war. But I look around this auditorium and it is filled with soldiers. Still filled with people who are ready for battle. Let's go back into the passage. It gets better. He says in verse number 6, and what man is there who has planted a vineyard and has not eaten of it? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man eat of it. Wow, plant a vineyard? Agriculture is fantastic, but the seed that God wants us to sow is the gospel. You think of how much food this planet really has. It's amazing. We have a lot of food. And so it doesn't really matter at the end of the day. If you think that food could keep you away from this war, well, think again. You were going to say something. Sorry, you had your hand up. That's right. That's right. And so he says, those that planted a vineyard. You know, the scripture tells me, he that wins souls is wise. That would be a significant investment. And I must mention, the investment in Central Florida Bible Camp has just blown my mind. There's this nurse that was there, and she was just running things. She's right here. Awesome. She was on the go, on the go, on the go. And maybe she knows very well that it's a vineyard she's really paying attention to. It's a vineyard because she's nurturing them. Some of them came bleeding. Some of them came faint. Some of them, But she was there taking it, a big smile on her face. And, you know, she would say things like, come on, sweetie, it's okay. A vineyard. That is what that camp was. It is a vineyard. We have a vineyard. Next 40 years, these three young ladies might have children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren, and they remember coming in with their walkers and Brother Dominic. I know you were somewhere. Don't remember where. And if they represented us well then, you could imagine the investment, the returns that will come next 40 years. Let's pray for them. And for not them only, but all the young people that were there. Pray for them. Because that's a serious mission field. So sometimes I don't need to cross the shore in order to, or cross the sea in order to sow that seed. I just need to cross the hall. I just need to cross the room or the street. So when you invest in something like that, and you have invested, you are actually in a vineyard. But are we prevented from the war? The answer is no. We are going still. But it gets even better. In the passage, jump down to verse number 7. I like this one. And what man is there who is betrothed to a woman and has not married her? Let him go and return to his house, lest he die in the battle and another man marries her. That is so hilarious. It is just hilarious. All the single people. God wants you. But for them, he said, look, if you marry somebody and, you know, you get a chance to, you know, pay attention to the wedding or the marriage, don't go to war. I like God. I'd have a, you know, a new wife every week. That just don't make sense. I remember my brother several years ago, he told his wife, he said, darling, I really hope that God will allow me when you turn 50 that I'll be able to trade you in for 2 25s. And she said, okay, who's going to turn 50 first? He was older. He didn't like it much then. But just think with me that God is actually saying that if you took a wife, you don't need to go to war. Well, how about us? Have we taken our wife recently? Have we taken our husband? Have we gotten married and not yet dedicated? Let me see something in that regard really quickly. There will be no single people in heaven. You say, but Dominic, what kind of false doctrine is that? There'll be no single people in heaven. You single? You? You? There'll be no single people in heaven. Somebody ought to be able to say amen. Well, I find the place is pretty quiet. No single people in heaven. Anybody disagrees or agrees? Anybody?
I agree.
You agree?
I agree.
Why you say you agree?
Because I feel like that, you know, you're going to have the bridegroom. God's going to be there.
Woo! Here's the concept. If you're not married to Christ, you will not be in glory. So there'll be no single people up there. If you're here this morning and not yet married to Christ, today is a great day. The water is still warm. The sun is hot in the sky. And you are present. So if you know you have not yet been married to Christ through obedience of the gospel, today is the right day to do that, to give your life to Christ. But it gets worse. The officer, verse 8, shall speak further to the people and say, what man is there who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go home and return to his house, lest the heart of his brethren faint like his heart. So he says, look, on the verge of battle, if you know you are afraid, then don't even bother. Don't bother, because your fear will confuse the other people. Time to pull the trigger and your hands are shaking. Somebody said, if you're seeing double, shoot in the middle. But the thing is, here we are. We cannot afford to be fearful. Why? We are already in the war. We are already present. We are already in this battle. And I know that chorus is a powerful chorus. Let's just sing that chorus together. Lord, I'm a hard-fighting soldier on the battlefield. Lord, I'm a hard-fighting soldier on the battlefield. Lord, I'm a hard-fighting soldier on the battlefield. I'll keep on bringing souls to Jesus by the service that I give. I've got to walk right, talk right, and sing right, and pray right on the battlefield. I've got to walk right and talk right, sing right, and pray right on the battlefield. I've got to walk right and talk right, sing right and pray right on the battlefield. Keep on bringing souls to Jesus by the service that I give. Yeah, that was nice. You realize we are in a war. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Have you ever seen one? So what is it? So here are these reasons that God has given to those who say, here's what, we're not at war. The truth is, we are already at war. And the next generation is already in trouble. When you think about the various movements upon the face of this planet to distract our young people, to take away their attention from God and godliness, we're already in trouble. And it is a serious struggle. Just the issue with gender identity. So whether it is a legal system, whether it is in the school, or even within the church environment, we are already at war. Already. And there are those who, I identify as a dog. Really? I heard a brother said one day, a man had a son, and the son said, I identify as a chicken. And he went under the table and was eating the crumbs from off the ground. And then, in the example, the father went down and sat with the boy and ate from the ground as well and helped him to know that it's all right. And I'm thinking, in the Caribbean, you identify as a chicken. I'm trying to figure out when is a good time to pluck and gut. Sorry. Could you get a chicken that size? Come on. It's going to look good. Two legs up and roasted just right. I'll slice you. And then a man walks into a bank and he says, I identify as a billionaire and I came to withdraw my cash. Folk, we are in a war. Autism has a spectrum, not gender. Could I say that again? Autism has a spectrum, not gender. The scripture tells me God made them male and female. There's no spectrum between the two. It's a lie, and the church has to stand strong in this war against that madness. And if that's not bad enough, somebody will come and say, well, you're preaching a kind of hate crime. And really? I know men who have stood their ground for the gospel's sake, and sang praises while in prison. So be it. I want to encourage you to keep standing strong. Let the gospel take a secure place in your heart. But it gets even nicer in the passage. How much more time I have? I think about 2 hours again, so it'll be good. First hour, we'll talk a little more. So, there are some realms that we have to pay attention to. If you notice, all around It's property, it is the vineyard, it is marriage, it is fear. And all of those issues, you know, help us to realize the kind of war that we're in. They're after our families, they're in the education system, they're in the legal system, and it's a whole move against God. And so there's this element of faithlessness. And faithlessness is not so much about not believing in God, you know. Faithlessness really involves the idea that you could do it on your own. And so this world is wrapping itself in a kind of faithlessness that we don't need God. We could keep him at a distance. Keep him as if he has COVID. Keep him as far as possible. So much so that I remember reading Anthony Fauci said, you know, the handshake will soon become a thing of the past. And it's as if he was boasting. But he never met the church. That is what happened. Because we still greet one another with a holy kiss. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, and we still have a little cough too. At the end of the day, COVID is not and was not the real issue. The real issue is we are at war. And so the whole principle of social distance, you realize how it has impacted the church? You realize? You realize how much that simple thing impacted so much so that there are some people who have not yet returned. They're still online and comfortable with that. Lie down on their bed and maybe sing a song or two. Drop asleep during the service. Drop asleep during the sermon. Because you're accustomed to doing that anyway, you know. Leave that alone. Yeah. And they have not returned as if heaven is not going to have all of us together. So sad. So sad. What does God suggest to these people? Two things he suggests through Moses, and we're going to test them to see if they work. Go back to verse number 2 and notice the people that he's going to call. He says, so it shall be, verse number 2, when you are on the verge of battle. Are we on the verge of battle? Are we? Are we in a war? Let me test this out. Those in this section here, are we at war?
Yes.
Those in this section here, are we at war?
Yes.
Those in this section here, are we at war?
Yes.
And those in this section here, are we at war?
Yes.
So together now, are we at war?
Yes.
Yes, we are at war. Look at what he says that they should do. I thought, you know, maybe he will tell them, sharpen your swords and, you know, get your artillery ready and all of those things. That's not what he tells them. Here's what he tells them. Verse 2. So it shall be when you are on the verge of battle that who? The priest shall approach and speak to the people. What? The priests shall come and approach the people. What are they going to do? They are going to encourage these people. They are going to tell them, here's what, we are in this war. Get ready to fight. We could do this. We could make this. But wait, are there any priests in this gathering this morning? Would you say that again? Prove it. Come on. Are we saying? Yes. That's right. We are. So we could go to the passage and we could see. Let's go to that. Let's go right there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. That sound familiar? 1 Peter 2, could we get a reader nice and loud and clear? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Somebody on this side has seen that movement. You look like you are ready to read. So read for me. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. Could you stand, read it nice and loud and clear for us? What's your name, sir?
Joseph.
Joseph? Joseph is a powerful name, isn't it? wow. Yeah. 1 Peter chapter 2. Yeah, it's easier for him to find it on his phone. I love 1 Peter chapter 2. Read verse number 9. Yes.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light.
Are you hearing? Thanks very much, Joseph. You've been added for a reason. It's good. We are a chosen generation. A royal priesthood. So he says, call the priests. We are priests. How do we know that? The scripture says it plainly. Go to the book of Revelation. Let's go to chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. This is so powerful and beautiful. Revelation chapter number 1 and... Let's look at verse number 6. I was going to ask if we have it on our slide. Maybe we could have read the whole thing together, but let's go. In verse number 6 of Revelation chapter 1, after saying that he's the ruler over the kings of the earth and he loved us and washed us from our sins, he says, and has made us kings and priests to God and to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Are there any priests in this gathering? Yes. So we are at war. And we are the ones that must encourage one another to continue going forward. We are the ones to continue encouraging the next generation to go forward. We are the ones who will, for the next 10 generations, the next 20 generations, we may not be here. I was born here, but I don't grow here. We'll be gone. Will you endure? The day will come, sir, that we will hand the battle to you. We will give you our shield, but you must get your own. We will hand you our sword, but you must hold your own. For David, when he tried on Saul's armor and he held Saul's sword in his hand, the scripture said he could not move. He just couldn't because he didn't have it. It was not his. Make this yours. Make the faith yours. Make Jesus yours. Because look around you, all of these people with gray hair or no hair, we are leaving. Many of us may not see the end of the next 10 years. So we are dependent on you. Are you ready?
Yes.
So Moses says, call the priests. Today he's making that call. After so many years, he's still making that call today for men and for women to rise. For men and women to rise up and to defend the faith. But not only did he say, call the priests. Keep reading. The next thing he says is in verse number 5. Then the officers shall speak to the people. Officers? Yeah. Any military people in this gathering? Any military? Ex-Marines? Yeah? Who's an officer?
Who's officer?
Yeah.
See, officer is a person that has authorities.
He has authority. Anything else?
He's a, well, most of them is committed.
He's committed.
Yeah.
You hear in some words, he is using those words, not me. He's authority, committed. Anything else?
In charge.
In charge. Ooh. Give me a nicer word, a nice word we could use for in charge.
Leader.
They lead.
Yep.
Leader. Are you seeing what he's actually saying? The officers are the ones who have responsibility. They have been commissioned, as it were.
Yes.
Commissioned to a task. Wow. So when we read 1 Peter 2, verse 9, and he said, you are special. You are God's, you know, unique people. Then really what we have this morning is a group of people that do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and power. I don't know, but it just kind of gives me the thought that we have a bunch of special forces people right here this morning. Any special forces people? We have a special force. And special here, and I had to fix this on camp. When I said, you know, you are special, some of them were looking at each other. Yeah, you're special. You need help. You know, as if, you know, like special ed, you know, special. Yes, you need help. But no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being special in the sense that you're unique. You are given a responsibility. Anybody here has been commissioned by Christ to do anything? Yes, so we have a bunch of commissioned officers in this presence.
Yeah.
We are commissioned by our commanding officer to take up this cross, to take that lead and to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. This is our commission. We are at war. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Amen. So there's this song that says, sound the battle cry. See, the foe is nigh. Raise the standard high for the Lord. Gird your armor on. Stand firm, everyone. Rest upon his holy word. We are at war. Responsibility. What an amazing word. Responsibility. Every one of us have a direct responsibility to share the gospel with somebody else. And somebody says, but Dominic, I don't know how to. You could learn. As long as there is life, there is hope.
Amen.
Could you dial a number on the phone? Yes, you can. Could you call a friend? Yes, you can. Can you wave out to somebody? Yes, you can. Can you cross the street? Yes, you can. Can you go through Walmart and just say, hi, I'm from the church on Leo Lane. You have a call card? Can you hand it to somebody? Yes. Can you share? Maybe you saw some brothers with a little badge, a little lapel pin. I love it. Looks good. And so you could share that with somebody and said, you know, I'm a member at the Church of Christ on Leo Lane. Wow. We have a responsibility. And you might say, well, Dominic, I'm in and out of hospital. Maybe that's your mission field. You say, well, you know, I'm afraid I die. Don't die. And even if you die in the process, God is going to be glorified. Could you imagine going down with your sharing a track? You're flatlining, but you're handing your neighbor a passage. And you know you're flatlining. And you're singing on the way, this world is not my home. Just passing through. So the song says, well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go Till the Lord comes and calls me away, oh yeah. Where the morning is bright and the Lamb is the light. And the night is as fair as the day, oh yeah. Well, there will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley, oh me. Lord, I pray. There'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no more trouble I'll see. There'll be peace in the valley for me.